One of the questions we received for I've Always Wondered is a question that is connected to what we were looking at this morning during the Last Days Living series. So I thought it would be a good night to address the question. The question concerns Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. So I invite you to open your Bibles to that passage. And if you are able, I encourage you to stand as an act of worship for the reading. Stand before the Lord our God, recognizing that this is His holy word. Daniel chapter 9, starting with verse 24. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then, for 62 weeks, it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we thank you that long ago you spoke to your prophet Daniel and gave him a vision of what is yet to come. And we pray that tonight you would help us to understand the words that he wrote down, not only for the people living then, but for us today and for those who will follow us. Give us wisdom, give us insight, help us to understand this and respond rightly. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, the passage we just read ends with a verse about the abomination of desolation, which is what I addressed this morning. I explained that it is a terrible act of idolatry, defiling the temple of God. I also explained that Daniel's prophecy was first fulfilled by Antiochus Epiphanes in 167 BC. Antiochus terminated the regular burnt offerings in the temple. He set up an idol to Zeus in the temple, and he offered a sacrifice on the altar to the idol. That was one fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. And then Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled again in 70 AD when the army of Titus came with banners containing the image of the emperor, which was used for emperor worship. Titus not only defiled the temple, he destroyed it. That was a second fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. And also a fulfillment of the prophecy Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 24. And finally, I explained there will be yet a future Antichrist and a future abomination of a desolation before the return of Jesus. We spent a lot of time on that this morning. The question tonight does not directly address the abomination of desolation. Rather, it addresses the time period mentioned in this prophecy. Here's a direct quote of the question that was sent to us. Can you pick apart the Daniel 9, 24 through 27 passage and share your interpretation of the 70th week? The question is specifically about the end of the time period mentioned in Daniel. The time period is 70 weeks. The question concerns the 70th week. To address that question, I'm going to move through the outline of the time period as it is given to us in the passage. The outline of the time period will be the outline of my message. The passage begins with an overview of the whole time period that's given to us in verse 24, which is an extremely important verse in the passage, a verse that helps us understand the whole of the passage. In our ESV, we're told the time period is 70 weeks. When we hear that, we think of 52 weeks equaling a year, hence not even a year and a half long. However, the Hebrew can also be translated 70 sevens. I've added to the screen the NIV translation, which says, quote, 70 sevens are decreed for your people. So one question you have to ask yourself when you approach this passage is this: does the prophecy concern 77-day periods, 70 weeks, or does the prophecy concern 77-year periods, which is 490 years? The fact that the ESV translates it as 70 weeks, by the way, does not mean the translators think the prophecy is about 77-day periods. 70 weeks is simply a common way to translate 77s. Tonight, for clarity, I am going to refer to 490 years. But having said that, I will also explain that numbers can be symbolic. That's another decision you have to make about this passage. Are we dealing with a time period of 70 weeks or 490 years? Or are the numbers a symbolic way of referring to time periods? That numbers are used in the scriptures symbolically is very clear. And that is especially true of the number 7. The number 7 can be used symbolically to mean completion or perfection. I believe the reason for that symbolic meaning largely comes from creation. God created, and then on the seventh day he rested. Hence, 7 equals complete perfection. In the book of Revelation, you find many 7s, 7 lampstands, 7 churches, 7 bowls, 7 trumpets, 7 seals. There's symbolism in that repeated use of the number 7. And in the New Testament, we also hear Jesus use the number 7 symbolically. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was asked how many times a person should be forgiven? I'll read you the passage. Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 21, we read, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times.'" That's the ESV translation. But again, it can also be translated 70 times 7. I'll add to the screen the New American Standard Bible translation, quote, "Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Jesus may have been saying 77 times, or he may have been saying 70 times 7, which is 490. Whether Jesus said 77 times or 70 times 7, what is clear is that Jesus is speaking symbolically. Jesus is using the number 7 to communicate completeness, perfection. You forgive as many times as is needed until completion. Jesus certainly doesn't mean, you know, you only forgive 77 times or only 490 times. Jesus isn't saying, now keep track of how many times you forgive a person, and then once you get to 77 or 490, and if somebody comes and asks again for forgiveness, you can say, well, forget it. You're off the hook. You don't have to forgive. Reaching that kind of conclusion actually makes a mockery of what Jesus is teaching. What Jesus clearly means is that you forgive as many times as is needed until the number of times is complete. So we need to realize that there are times that a faithful reading of the Bible means you must understand symbolism. People who say that a faithful interpretation of the Bible treats every number literally, well, they're actually not being faithful to the Bible. A faithful interpretation of the words of Jesus understands symbolism. Jesus is saying you always forgive. When you are reading the Bible, you cannot ignore genre, like prophecy and apocalyptic literature, which is highly symbolic. There's all kinds of symbols in the book of Revelation, for instance. And you cannot ignore context. So as we approach Daniel chapter 9, we have to realize that the time period very well might be symbolic. Or it is possible that it is part symbolic, part not symbolic. That's an important point regarding the overview of the time period. Now, after the overview, the passage breaks down the whole time period into what I'm going to call segments. Segment A is a 49-year segment. The beginning of verse 25 says, "Know therefore, and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks." Or in other words, 7 times 7, which is 49 years. The beginning of this verse was certainly very exciting for Daniel. For the prophecy concerns a word to restore and build Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you need to remember, was lying in ruins. Daniel, as a young man, had been taken out of Jerusalem, brought to Babylon. He and other young, intelligent people were the first to be taken out of the city. And then later, the temple in Jerusalem, they were destroyed and everyone was in exile. Daniel discerned from a different biblical prophet that the exile would soon be over. Look at how chapter 9 begins in Daniel. Daniel writes, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord, to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Wow. It would be fun to go back and talk to Daniel as he discerned that. For Daniel knew how long he had been in Babylon. He therefore knew the end of the exile was coming. So the prophecy in verse 25 was certainly exciting to Daniel. Now, a question about the prophecy is this: when exactly did the 49-year time period begin? One reason that question is interesting is that there are different possibilities. I'll state them for you. One possibility is that the 49 years began in 538 BC when Cyrus gave a decree concerning Jerusalem. We read about that decree in Ezra chapter 1. Quote, "In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah." That was a great decree for the Jewish people. That is when the 49 years began. That's one possibility. But there is another possibility. A decree was also given by Artaxerxes in 458 or 457 BC. We read of that decree in Ezra 7. Quote, "Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, peace. And now I make a decree." That decree was also important to the Jewish people and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Is that when the 49 years began? That's another possibility. But there's yet one other possibility. It could be that the 49 years began in 445 or 444 BC when Artaxerxes gave a decree to Nehemiah. You might remember that Nehemiah was sad about the state of affairs in Jerusalem. And he asked the king for permission to go help rebuild Jerusalem. And he also asked the king for a letter so that he could get some timber. And by the sovereign power of God, the king granted what Nehemiah asked for. All of those possibilities make sense of when the 49-year period began. All of those possibilities can be defended. Now, the main significance of when the 49 years began has to do with the next segment of time we're going to look at, segment B. Segment B is a long segment. It is 62 sevens long, 434 years. We read about segment B at the end of verse 25 and the beginning of verse 26, quote, "Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing." Verse 26 refers to an anointed one being cut off. That's an important part of the verse. I ask you, who could that be? Who's that anointed one? What anointed one was cut off? Well, I submit to you, that is a reference to Jesus. I say that because of what verse 24 says. Verse 24, again, is that overview verse. The verse tells us about the whole time period. Look at that verse with me again. Verse 24 says, "Transgressions will be finished. Sin will be put to an end. Atonement will be made for iniquity. Everlasting righteousness will be brought in. Vision and prophet will be sealed. The most holy place will be anointed." That's quite a list of accomplishments, isn't it? Looking at that list, I ask you who and what comes to mind. I think most of us would quickly agree that Jesus comes to mind. Because of Jesus, our sins have been atoned for. And we've been clothed in His righteousness. Someday, because of the work Jesus has accomplished for us, we will be glorified and we will sin no more. And we know that because of His victory, Jesus has ascended and entered into the most holy place, and He has opened up the way for us. All of verse 24 is clearly about Jesus. It's a wonderful prophecy about all that Jesus would accomplish through His first advent. So Jesus is very much part of this prophecy. That's without question. Therefore, when we read in verse 26 of an anointed one being cut off, the sensible conclusion is that the verse is about Jesus. The title Christ means anointed one. And Jesus was cut off when He was crucified on the cross, and He was left with nothing because He was forsaken by God the Father. So it makes complete sense that verse 25 is about Jesus. Now, with Jesus in mind, one date is interesting. Let's say the 49 years began with the decree of Artaxerxes recorded in Ezra chapter 7. That was 458 to 457 BC. That would bring the end of segment B to AD 26 or 27, which is approximately the time Christ began His ministry. Very interesting, isn't it? And the whole 490-year period brings us to Jesus' death around 32 AD. Those dates are fascinating. It is certainly a possibility that is exactly what the prophecy is referring to. However, I also believe the numbers very well might be symbolic. You have a short segment, symbolized by 49 years, during which the Jewish people go back to Jerusalem and complete the rebuilding of the city and the temple. Then you have a long period of time before the coming of Christ and the beginning of the new covenant by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. The short and long time segments easily match what the Jewish people experienced. Whether or not the time periods match exactly with specific dates, then that's irrelevant. Everything is divisible by seven. This is symbolic. Everything is divisible by seven to show completion. So I don't have a strong opinion about exactly when these segments began and exactly when the segments were finished. What is clear is that Daniel's prophecy is extraordinary. It clearly points to the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple, and it clearly points to Jesus and his work on the cross. Now, all of that brings us to segment C of the timeline of the 70 weeks, the final seven-year time period. Here is what our text says about that 70th week, that final seven-year time period. Verse 27, "And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator." There are three main views concerning these final 7 years. Each view is held by Christ-exalting Christians. I say that because while there are some big differences in these viewpoints, while the viewpoints can at times be passionately debated, we're all part of the family of Christ. Beliefs about the end times don't keep you out of the kingdom. I love and admire pastors who represent versions of all three of these viewpoints. The three viewpoints I'm talking about are the dispensationalist viewpoint, the preterist viewpoint, and the covenantalist or futurist viewpoint. Some of you probably thought I was going to talk about post-millennialism or amillennialism. The reason I'm not is because we're not dealing with the millennium this evening. We're dealing with the final 7 years mentioned by Daniel. There are two main issues to consider in each of these viewpoints. Look at the words I've underlined in the verse. One issue concerns the covenant maker. Who's this covenant maker? The second issue concerns the time period. Again, when does it start? When is it over? I will tell you about the dispensationalist viewpoint first. They believe that there is a gap between the end of the second segment of time periods and the beginning of the final seven-year period. They believe the second segment ended with the ministry of Jesus. And now we're in a gap. We're not in any time period right now in this prophecy. And at some point in the future, the seven-year period will begin, and it will be exactly 7 years long. And they believe the covenant maker is Satan. They believe Satan will make a covenant and then break that covenant in the middle of that seven-year period. Now, there are two problems I submit with this viewpoint. One, there's no mention of a gap. This viewpoint has to insert the gap to fit other aspects of their beliefs about the end times. But there's no gap mentioned in the text. Matter of fact, verse 24 gives an overview of the whole time period, which strongly implies it's one connected time period. There's no gap in it. And second, it really makes no sense to say the covenant maker is Satan, especially when you consider the way the covenant is referred to. The wording implies that a covenant that already existed is made strong. So a much better viewpoint is that Christ is the covenant maker. Christ made strong the covenant that already existed. He made the old covenant a new covenant in his blood. I showed us that verse 24 points to the work of Christ. It's very natural, therefore, to understand that he is the covenant maker. This passage is not mainly about the one who makes an abomination of desolation. It's mainly about Jesus. So the dispensationalist viewpoint, I submit to you, is a weak viewpoint. The second viewpoint is the preterist viewpoint. They believe the covenant maker is Jesus, which we would agree with. No problems there. They believe that the final 7 years started at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. He was cut off, crucified in the middle of the 7 years, and then the 7 years finished. They therefore believe the prophecy is over. There's nothing future about it. It's completed. And it is the fact that they believe the prophecy is completed that is the problem. The passage shows that the seven-year period does involve the abomination of desolation. And because he is yet to come, as I explained this morning, I submit to you that viewpoint is weak. The covenantal viewpoint is, I submit to you, the right viewpoint. We believe the time periods are symbolic, especially the seventh week. It is a time period that began with Jesus' ministry, and it is a time period we are still in. Jesus is the covenant maker, and we are still waiting for the final abomination of desolation to happen, as I explained this morning. You can think of it this way. We are now waiting for everything to be made complete. We're in the final week of the 70 weeks. We're in the final seven of all the sevens. And we are waiting for all to be made complete and perfect in Christ. This prophecy wasn't given to us so that we might map out the exact days and years. It was given to encourage us. Think about that when you look at the prophecy. Think about what we see in this prophecy. We see God is in control with a plan. We see that very clearly in this prophecy. God is in control. He has a plan. We also see amazing prophecy, which confirms that Christ is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And we see that Christ will indeed be the victor. That's what this prophecy is mainly about. So my encouragement is this. Don't dig too deeply into the numbers, which are most likely symbolic. Look instead at the whole grand picture of the prophecy. And with that comment, I'm going to jump us to Daniel chapter 12. I said this morning that I'll comment on that as well. At the end of Daniel 12, we're given two figures, two numbers, again in relation to the abomination of desolation. Daniel 12, verses 11 and 12 say this, "And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days." Instead of trying to figure out exactly how these days fit on a timeline, we should again meditate on the overall message, which is a beautiful, a wonderful message of encouragement. Blessed are they who wait till the end. With that message of encouragement, we are shown that the measurement of the turmoil is in days. The turmoil is just days. That's all. I submit to you, that's the big message here. The turmoil is measured in days. And the exactness of the measurement of days shows God is in control. Nothing is going to happen beyond what He has already determined. So know that God is in control. Turmoil will not last long. There's victory coming. That's the grand message. Wait till the end. Blessed is he who waits till the end. And stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. That's the message. As we learned this morning, the final Antichrist and Satan who is behind him will be destroyed. Christ will be shown as the victor that he is, the King of Kings, who will reign over his perfect kingdom forever. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, again we thank you for your holy word, which spurs us on. so that we might stand firm. We've heard that twice today, that there are some hard days for your people. Christ himself told us we would have to carry a cross, and we've heard that this morning and again this evening. There are rough days that are part of this fallen world. And we thank you, Father, that you prepare us for that and that you give us these wonderful, encouraging words of prophecy that we might look to Christ and know that you are in control and know that the turmoil will be short in comparison to the glory that you have awaiting for us. May we wait with trust in you, bringing glory and honor to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.